Mailman, mailman, do your duty. Here comes the lady with the African booty. She can do the pom-pom, she can do the twist, but most of all, she can kiss, kiss, kiss.
Mailman, mailman, do your duty. Here comes a lady with the African booty. She can do the pom-pom, she can do the splits, but most of all, she can kiss, kiss, kiss. With her big red lips? Was that part of it,
too? That's the next part. With her big red lips and her boom, boom, boom. I don't know.
I don't know the rest of it.
I have heard that. I've heard that before.
Well, when I was growing up in Texas, I was called African Booty Scratcher.
What does it mean?
I don't know. I have a feeling it just means you Africans who are, you know, you don't have any clothes probably, and you're poor, and you're so poor that you're just standing there all backward and pathetic scratching your booties, I guess.
That's so weird. Who called you it?
It was the black kids. Mm. It was the black kids. It was passion and patience.
Passion and patience.
Passion and patience.
They were in your class.
Two little girls. Two little girls. And it was always at recess. Uh-huh. One time I remember we were out and we were like just racing.
Running.
Running. Uh-huh. You know. Ready, set, go. Yeah. And so I lost. I was never a good athlete.
Uh-huh.
And they just, you know, kind of came out, ooh, you lost. Ooh, you know why? Because you're African booty scratcher. African booty scratcher. Like, my thing was, why would these girls who look like me, who had the same hair, we had the same, whether it was twists or braids or whatever.
Which are beads on the end.
And, like, we look the same, mm-hmm. right? But why are these girls being mean to me? Mm. And I think that's when I started to realize, oh, we're not the same. We're different.
Here comes a lady with the African booty. She can be
but then as we grew up, I realized that this thing is a part of American culture. Like, remember Boys in the Hood?
I'm from Africa. You from Africa, you African booty scratcher.
And everyone would laugh. Everyone would laugh. But we had no idea what we were laughing about. But it's the black kids say it. The black kids
That's why we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
You and me. Because patience and passion were African American.
Wait, I'm not patience or passion.
I know.
Don't get me confused with patience or passion.
But we're going there.
Okay.
Like, I want to understand why this meanness happened mm-hmm. from African Americans towards me, the African. What is that? What it's about? You want to go there?
I think so.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I'll be gentle.
The stoop.
But wait, we're going to also have to talk about some of the stereotypes that go the other way as well, right?
What do you mean?
Well, the stereotypes against African Americans. Those do exist by Africans.
By Africans. They do exist.
I do remember you telling me a couple of things.
All right, Leela, yes, we will go there. It goes both ways, and we're going to talk about all of it.
On the stoop.
Right here.
The stoop.
The stoop.
The stoop.
The stoop.
Stories about black identity that aren't always shared in the open.
Shh, girl, we can't say that.
It's like a griot,
a hair salon,
a newsroom,
and your mama's kitchen all in one.
The stoop.
Did you ever find patience and passion? Did you ask them?
No.
Can we call them?
No. I looked them up. I tried to find them. There's no trace. I couldn't find either of them. But I know this young Sudanese woman who's lived through the same thing.
We definitely heard African booty scratcher a lot.
Her name is Shadin Awad, mm-hmm. and she has some African-American friends who do remember hearing some bad things about Africans. So the three of them are going to sit down and stoop this out. But first, let's get to know Shadin a bit more.
I was born in the States, and then when I was a couple months old, my mom and my sisters and I moved back to Sudan. And then we came back here in like 96.
So Shadin grew up in Fremont, California. And one of the first things she realized when she was a kid, there's lots of stereotypes about Africans.
Okay.
So first up, the stereotype that...
What?
That we all live in huts and we got elephants in the backyard. Mm-hmm. I think that's the number one stereotype about us.
Now, that is not, is that a bad thing to have an elephant in the backyard?
It's an it's an inaccurate thing.
Okay, okay.
And that we live in huts.
Yeah.
Therefore, you know, like poverty, basically, and that we all live in the middle of a jungle.
Oh, we visited Sudan. Oh, did you go visit your pet monkey?
We actually did have a pet monkey. Like, like, sorry if that like fits a stereotype.
She had a pet monkey.
She really did have
so
a pet
monkey. So that stereotype
was
true.
Yeah, that part was true.
Did you have a pet monkey in Sudan?
I did not, Leela.
Okay, I'm just asking. I mean, Shadin had a pet monkey.
Yeah.
What did they do
with
it? But
they didn't live in the jungle. That's the point. Okay. That's the point. And the people she was hearing this from were her black neighbors and her black classmates.
You know, just things like that. Oh, yeah, you know, do you have, do you live in a tree? And do you have, like, elephants in your backyard? And just all these things that really started to show up, I think, like, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade.
Those are fourth, fifth, and sixth grade comments, right?
I know, but that's also, you're very vulnerable at that age.
Yeah.
So, yes, she did not live in a tree. She lived here in the Bay Area in Fremont, and she did have some black neighbors.
And I just remember, like they just sort of taught us a lot about what it meant to be black in this country, whether it was music, like teaching us the Harlem Shake. Then we had another neighbor who was Hawaiian and black. So I think like these two neighbors were our first sort of exposure to folks who had black homes. So whenever we'd go in, you know, we were invited to Sunday church every once in a while.
But Shadin knew that her black family was different. And it's not just because of that pet monkey either.
Even our names, for example, were Arabic names. Seeing our parents, how my mom would wear her like traditional thobe, like as we were going out, people would always sort of are like, "Are you guys like black Indians?" Like they were kind of perplexed by what they were seeing.
And I could totally relate, Leela, to everything she's saying.
Yeah.
I remember when my mom used to come to school back in Texas. She was in hijab, which is like a long sleeve dress and a headscarf. And, you know, it was hot. It's Texas. Everybody's in shorts and tank tops. And she would come in dressed like she was. And immediately just the questions, "Hannah, why is your mom dressed like that, Hannah? Is your mama wearing a Pizza Hut tablecloth on her head?" There was a point whenever my mom would come to school, I would actually dread it. You know, it's sad to say that now, but I would get teased so badly.
Here comes a lady with the African booty. I remember my mom like rolled up into school and heard it. Like she heard them saying it in like the courtyard, and she was like, and I was singing it too. You know, I didn't really like, for the sake of acceptance, I didn't really think much about it. I kind of was like, okay, here comes a lady with the African booty, and here comes my mom, this African woman, and she's completely like insulted by it. You know, she's just like, why are you singing this? Why can't you say, here comes the lady with the African, you know, beauty?
So let's go to Shadin and her friends as they stoop this out.
My name is Iman England.
My name is Samantha Mims. So I grew up in South Jersey in a small town named Sicklerville, and I grew up a lot predominantly around the black community, which was pretty much filled with just black Americans.
I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, was born in California. My dad's parents are from Louisiana, and my mother's side of the family is from Oklahoma and all over Texas. Really strong roots in the South, you know, heavily rooted in black traditions and, you know, black culture growing up.
One of the first things they wanted to talk about was this big stereotype that a lot of people have about Africa, which is that Africa is only about what? Poverty, the war,
famine, genocide, all the horrible things.
Right.
Being from Africa was just bad. You just didn't want to be associated with being from Africa in any shape or form. And I think you're like, okay, well, I mean, this is what I see. I hear Africa is bad, and or it's just not the greatest place to be from, or you just don't want to. So it's like, hey, I don't want to be from it either.
Can you relate to that, Lilo?
Like being called African?
Yeah. Do you remember being called African at all?
I do remember like being called African in school.
Mm-hmm.
You act like an African. You look African. You got a big African booty. Those were all...
Insults.
Yeah. They were all insults.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that was happening during the years when that African booty scratcher comment was heard was that there was a lot more African immigration to the U.S. The African population was basically doubling every decade since the 70s.
Right. And there was the Refugee Act of 1980. It made it easier for Africans to resettle in the country. So, yeah, the black landscape was just shifting really fast. Now there's just over 2 million African immigrants living here.
And then with all this influx came a lot of misunderstanding on both sides.
Mm-hmm. And that's not all. It was also a time when a lot was happening in the country and around the world.
Most Americans didn't have a clue, you know, what's going on in Africa.
That's Martha Saavedra. She teaches African studies at UC Berkeley.
What was happening at the time was, you know, cable television was just coming up. They would have been seeing probably the famines and the responses that all the celebrities were doing to that. We have to care about Africa. We have to go and save Africa. We have to raise money. We have to sing about Africa.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one.
And there was perhaps among kids and others an attempt to distinguish themselves from Africans, not knowing who these people were that were coming into their classrooms, seeing them as different. In the African communities, I think there was probably, you know, coming into this new culture, not knowing what was going on, and I think certainly understanding American racial histories and relationships is something that even current immigrants or current students, say, from African countries coming here have a hard time navigating.
Another stereotype is that everybody's the same and we all come from the same place, and that I would understand what a Nigerian person is saying, which is not true.
Yeah, I know. I've asked you many times different Nigerian phrases and you had no idea what they were.
No clue. And this takes us to the next stereotype. That all Africans speak the same language, and we all, guess what language that is?
African.
There would always be like that tall, skinny black guy who just kind of like looked like what people thought, you know, starving people in Africa look like. And it would just be like, oh, here comes so-and-so. And they would start like clicking their tongue or you know, sort of saying or, you know, like speaking with some accent, you know, and it's so weird because it's like, for me, like being from Sudan, it was like, even the foods, like there isn't this, like the same way we get upset with like sort of blackness being a monolith, like Africa was not a country, but it was like, even the stereotypes that came out of it were very country-esque, you know, as if everybody there looked the same, if everybody there, you know, like spoke the same way, like, and yeah, there are languages in Africa that include, you know, the clicking, true. You know, beautiful languages, but there are also languages that don't have that at all. So, and you know, one of them being mine. And I remember just being like, wait, like in the back of my head, like observing, like, where is that coming from? You know, but
it's coming from ignorance.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Sure. I dated a guy who is Nigerian. And I remember so many times feeling like, wow, this is like really interesting because it's almost like dating like a white person. Mm. And I was like, it's so interesting because we look so similar and we, you know, have these other things in common, but culturally, like we are significantly different. So either I felt like it was dating a white person or I felt like I was the white person where it's like, wow, like tell me about your food. Like tell me about this Nigerian music. Like I've never heard it. It just, I felt so, what's the word? Like, you know, I don't want, you never want to treat somebody like they're in a zoo and that like, wow, you're so different from me.
Lila, it is so refreshing and interesting to hear these ladies talk about this. You know why?
Why?
Like we didn't talk about any of this. We just took it and internalized it apparently for decades because we're bringing it out right
now. You're bringing it out now.
Right.
But also another something we also have to talk about.
What?
Which is how the stereotypes go the other way. So there's some words. Some hurtful words.
Right. So let's go there. A lot of immigrants coming from Africa have perceptions of African Americans. And it's also, again, going back to the media, it's what they get in their media back home. It's the movies, it's the music, it's the rap videos, what they see.
It's the mainstream interpretation of Black America.
So it's the rapper with the pants sagging. It is the gangster with the, you know, like terrorizing a neighborhood in LA or whatever. And for women,
what movies are y'all watching? What are you watching? Like stuff from the 80s?
This is the stuff I remember seeing. And I think some of the only positive images of African Americans shown in Africa relate to music for sure, you know, and sports, basketball. So all of these are, I think, a result of just like what people see, just like hear about Africa.
Okay.
It's the same. It's just the other way around. But there is a word, I am going to bring it up, that is equivalent to the N-word that I know people from my community, sadly, some of them.
And it's not like the N-word with the 8 on the end. It's the N-word with
the
E-R. Okay.
And the word is abid. Abid. And it's coming from Arabic, and it means slave.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is still to this day a derogatory term for African Americans. And it's, again, like I said, it's shameful and it's sad, but it's there. So you're right, it goes both ways.
Is African booty scratcher the equivalent to a bead?
No.
So I feel like we're talking about two very different kind of stereotypes in this conversation.
In this section.
Right? Yeah, because abid is like saying the N-word.
Right.
African booty scratcher is just like saying African.
It's ridiculing.
It's ridiculing. It's more about like the clicking of the tongue or saying, oh, yeah, when a Black African walks in, like, mm-hmm. oh, you know.
But it's all insults.
It's, yeah.
It's all seeing the other in a certain way and insulting them.
For some reason, abid
hits you harder.
Hits me harder than African booty
because
scratcher.
Because it means slave. And that, for an African-American person, hits very hard and very deeply.
But does African booty scratcher hit you as hard as abid?
Not as hard as abid, no.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get it. I get that. So, Iman, Shadin's friend,
mm-hmm.
if we go back to them, Iman found out about this other side of stereotyping with that same Nigerian boyfriend she had.
He was nervous about me meeting his mom because she has underlying issues with African American women,
mm-hmm.
and that he could foresee that being an issue. And so, of course, I'm like, oh, well, tell me more about that, you know, like whatever, because I just had never even considered that.
That brings us to our next stereotype, that Africans think they're better than African Americans.
Are we going to go there?
I mean, there is a perception that African people who come into this country think they're better than African Americans. If you think again back to these Africans coming from Africa who have a certain image in their head of what African Americans are, and then they come to the country. And so they see themselves, a lot of them see themselves as educated, like the anti of the African American person that they saw on TV. Mm-hmm. I am not lazy. I am a hard worker. I will take advantage of the opportunities in this country that you are not taking advantage of, all of this stuff. So it's true. And to some extent, that's saying, I think I'm better than you.
Right.
You know, just straight up. And Shadin has a lot to say about that. I mean, she has a lot of feelings about how her community behaves, how Sudanese people behave, and what they say.
It doesn't matter if I have a college degree. It doesn't matter if you talk quote-unquote white or if you do these things. We're Black. And embrace that with all its complexities, you know, the good that comes with it. Because all of us, you know, check off African American. We check out, you know, like we do reap the benefits, but at the same time we want to distance ourselves when it gets ugly. Again, sort of playing into this very blaming narrative of Black folks rather than understanding the political nature of what occurred in the States, particularly here in the United States. And I think that's something Sudanese people across the community, even in the Bay Area, can't seem to grasp, is that, like, you are not different. You are not.
Many African immigrants are highly educated. They do come in with their bachelor's degrees. A lot of them came in with that diversity lottery where it's a must that you have a bachelor's degree before you're allowed to come in. But on the other hand, they're also more likely to be in poverty. So,
you
like,
see doctors driving taxis, engineers and lawyers working as janitors, lower paying jobs.
Right. There's this big, like, a mismatch between the expectation and then the reality that they come and find.
Hi, may I help you?
Yeah, what kind of wings y'all got?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, we don't serve wings.
Well, you got fries?
No.
Well, what the hell y'all got then, monkey nuts?
This is a film. This is a clip from a movie, a new film. It's actually called African Booty Scratcher.
Of course it's called that.
And it's by a Sierra Leonean filmmaker. Her name is Nikiata Jusu. She's out of Brooklyn. She said she wanted to make a movie that reflects her reality as a daughter of African immigrants who grew up here. And so it's about a family that owns a restaurant. And in the scene, the mom is wiping down the counter, getting ready for customers. And this guy walks in.
We mostly serve stews and rice.
Yo, I ain't trying to rob you, man. Yo, you know what? I'm gonna just go across the street to them chinks, because at least they know what the fuck we like.
Go then. We don't need your business. People are so ignorant.
You people? Yo, you sound like Whitey right now. Hey, you Africans, kill me, coming over here acting like you better than us. Well, here in the United States, you's a nigger. You ain't nothing but a nigger. Just like me. Just a nigger with a passport.
After hearing that, that makes me feel a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we've been talking about stereotypes on both sides.
Right.
And they're hurtful, they're painful.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, I mean, we're all still Black.
We have these conversations a lot in our community. I talk to my brothers about this. When you get pulled over, don't think you're special. That policeman sees a Black man. And at that point, it doesn't matter where you're from, what certificates or degrees you have, what your job is. You are Black to the rest of society. And people need to understand that and think about it, you know? And what does that mean for them?
I feel like that's something we start to learn as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
So all this African booty scratcher, all these kind of like things that we say to each other as kids, it's almost like you said, it's like there are these things that we say because we're fed them, right? We're fed these stereotypes and this negativity.
That's what we know.
That's what we know. When you grow up, you realize like you will still be treated like any other Black person, regardless of where you're from.
Right. And the good news is, you know, academics who've studied the relationship between African immigrants and African Americans, they say that negativity really becomes less when each side starts learning more about the other side. Like for African Americans to learn more about colonialism in Africa, and for immigrants to learn more about slavery in the US, about segregation, about Jim Crow. So they say when that happens, the groups start relating to each other, like Shaddon and her friends.
There's something that happens with Black people and with Black women where it's like if you can put aside the jargon that's been created via, you know, white supremacy and colonialism and all, it's just, it's so deep and it's so authentic. And we can talk about everything from like hair to skin to men, to women, to whatever it is we want to talk about, you know what I mean, to politics, to identity, and nothing beats it.
And it's up to us to share that.
Right.
That's the other thing. Like, we're not, that information sharing is happening between us. It's not going to happen from people that don't look like us.
Yeah, I'm totally with it. Like, this exchange of experiences that all culminate to this, like, really beautiful
non-monolithic black experience.
Mm-hmm. We all just black. We're the same for real. And like, there's no difference in my eyes.
You know, I don't question the intention of black women. Maybe the way I did when I was younger, because I was insecure about my blackness. But now I just feel this like automatic like sisterhood. Mm-hmm. I just like, I'm really down with my sisters, and I feel that like deeply, and I want to commit myself to that.
Hannah, I'm down with you, my sister.
I'm down with you, Leela, and I'm glad we talked this out
today. I am too. I mean, I was a little uncomfortable, I must admit.
I was too. It's not easy talking about this stuff.
No.
Mailman, mailman, do your duty.
Those are my kids. I asked them about that clapping song we heard at the beginning of the show.
Kiss, kiss, kiss. I do feel kind of uncomfortable when I say it, because booty, I can deal with it, but African booty kind of gets me a little angry.
You feel angry?
Yeah, it's just I don't get why the hand game has to include African at all.
How, if you had to change it, what would you change it to?
I wouldn't use booty at all, honestly, or African. Like, mailman, mail, do your duty. Here comes the lady with the postage stamps.
And that's The Stoop. The Stoop family includes editor Casey Miner, engineers Seth Samuel and Chris Hoff, music by Daoud Anthony and Mazen Jamal. Thanks to Anna Sterla.
Support for The Stoop comes from the NPR Story Lab and from California Humanities, a nonprofit partner of the NEH. Find them at calhum.org. Big thanks also to Pop-Up Archive. Our radio home is KALW in San Francisco.
There's more about today's episode at thestoop.org. See you next time. Bye, Leela.
Bye, Hannah.
She can do the pom-pom, she can do the twist, but most of all, she can
mail that mail.
She can do the pom-pom, she can do the twist, but most of all, she can submit
perform
a
bris.
A bris?
I don't know.